This is Higher Ed Heroes with Dr. Sebastian Kempf and Dr. Alistair Stark.
Welcome to Higher Ed Heroes. My name is Seb.
And my name's Al. This podcast is about transformative moments in the classroom. We believe that these moments, when we bring our classrooms to life, can often be achieved by making small changes that are easy to adopt.
And that's our focus. Small things communicated in simple ways by great teachers who know that these practices make a difference to their students. And so the idea is that you listen to these great teachers, reflect on their practices, and think about whether it might work for your own students.
And because we know our listeners are busy and time poor, we want to communicate these lessons in a jargon-free way. That's why we have the Teaching Jargon Buzzer.
No!
When we hear those buzzwords that we think are more at home in a teaching committee or a faculty meeting. Seb, let's introduce this week's guests.
Absolutely. And as the attentive listener would have realized, there's a plural S because we have two guests in our studio here today. Next to me sits Dr. Fabi Hamos, who is based in the School of Culture and Languages and in the School of Education here at UQ.
And joining us through the wonder that is Zoom, that we're all pretty sick of by now in this pandemic, is the wonderful Dr. Laura Roberts, who's a lecturer in Women and Gender Studies at Flinders University. Fabi and Laura, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
We would like to go right into it. You are teaching a course in gender studies, and in that course, you make your students write a regular weekly journal. What do they write about, and how does that work?
So basically, the weekly journals is very much related to what we're teaching in gender studies. In this particular course, we are focusing on the intersections between gender, race, and culture. So really, the idea is for students to reflect on what we're doing in their learning. And also, there's two tasks within the journal. So the first one is a classroom reflection, where students think about the things that we are covering and learning together. And the second task is a reading response. So they have to respond to one of the weekly readings. So really kind of the main idea with this is that really important, a very key part of the course is for students to think about knowledge production and to their own relationship to what we're learning. So it's very key in this particular course, this idea of the personal is political. So because there's such a huge part of the course, we thought that a very, very kind of useful pedagogical tool would be to get students to actually reflect on what we're doing. So they can start on a weekly basis to think about what we are learning. Because the idea is just not about learning about this, learning about that, but it's just thinking about what is our relationship to this knowledge. And this is really key when we're talking about gender, race, culture, because otherwise we could just give a course, okay, let's learn about gender in Japan. Mm. You know, and then it becomes this very kind of removed type of learning, and that's not what we wanted to do in the course. So for us, it was really important to marry kind of the what we are doing in the course with the activity that the students actually doing. We taught this course together here at UQ for 3 years, from 2017 to 2019, and then Laura and I kind of we're still working together, we're still collaborating, but we kind of each teaching kind of slightly different versions of the same course here at UQ and at Flinders. But this assessment, because it is a piece of assessment, we can talk more a little bit about that, how it works in terms of assessment. It has evolved a little bit from its original form, but it's still very much that idea of reflecting on the learning as we go.
I have a question that's been intriguing me ever since we decided to talk about the journal. You covered a little bit of it there, relationships. Are you asking the students to really think about the relationships that they're working through in the class, in the context of power and culture and those interactions, without wishing to you to divulge what you read in these journals? What's in them?
What's in them is what resonates. Really what we're asking them to do is to engage theoretically with the theories and the ideas that we're talking about, and think about, you know, sort of what Fabi was saying there, think about how they are relating to that, how it affects them, whether they have experience, lived experiences of some of these really big complex ideas that we're breaking down in class. So that's what's happening. So some weeks students will be like, nothing, you know, I read the readings, I came to class, but, you know, I kind of didn't really affect me. And then obviously other weeks, depending on your context and your location, you know, something will really hit home to the student. And what happens over the semester, maybe I'm jumping ahead now, but what happens over the semester is they start to learn the conceptual tools and language to be able to articulate what's happening. So they're combining the theory and personal experience together in the practice of the journal.
Yeah, so these are self-reflections on big, important, you know, potentially quite dangerous, traumatic forms of knowledge. How do you get students to open up initially? You tell them you're going to write a journal, they must be used to doing academic assessments, and then you invite them to think personally about these big, potentially troubling issues. How do you build that?
The way that we actually approach this is from the beginning of the semester to really just set the scene really well in terms of what we expect, but in terms of what we offer as teachers. So we open up the semester with very clear kind of instructions in terms of what we're actually doing, but that we're actually there, that we're going through the journey with the students. And I think setting the scene in that way in kind of in the early weeks, and also with how we set up the tutorials and the types of environment that we try to foster, I think it opens up to students to start slowly trusting. And of course, that some would trust more than others, and that's okay. So part of the idea is just at the beginning to really tell students that we are here to meet them where they are. Of course, there are expectations in terms of criteria, in terms of theoretical work, but in terms of the reflection is meeting them where they are. No opinion is a wrong opinion in terms of their own kind of experiences. So I think that we set that really well in terms of trying to keep it as judgmental free as possible, and also making it very clear that we are not assessing them on their opinion, that we're assessing them on that ability to reflect upon what we're learning.
These journal entries, yes, they're written by the students, but you as teachers, you have access to them, but none of the other students. It requires still for the student to be comfortable in sharing, in reflecting, less perhaps on the theories, but on what you encourage them to do on the personal sides there. Laura, do you want to talk a bit about that?
Bouncing off what Fabi was saying, at the beginning of semester and all throughout the semester, how Fabi and I come and how we are and how we sort of being in the classroom is vulnerable and authentic. When we're using these examples of things that we're teaching, and we have really fabulous guest lectures, you know, and that's how we sort of now guest lecture into one another's topics across the universities. But by sort of, I guess, performing that vulnerability and authenticity to the students, that in the way that we teach, that sort of is what starts to come out in the journals. And also what happens on a weekly basis is that we're responding to these students. So it's a really intimate conversation that's happening. So they might start off getting used to what the format is. And what happened to me last semester was a couple of the students started to write Dear Diary. So they were reflecting, or even Dear Laura, they were sort of, it was this two-way conversation that I was then able to encourage, or, you know, I'm writing back to them in this way. So I think that sense of vulnerability and community that we're creating in the classroom enables students to do that, to feel safe.
Whatever we're asking, we're answering ourselves from our own positionalities. So we're never asking anything that we are actually not sharing ourselves.
Mm. So trust is massive here. Yeah. Obviously, you ask for information, you have to absorb it, and there's an obligation on you guys, obviously, to maintain that trust, maintain that confidentiality. How then do you respond?
It is a little bit time consuming, but because it's kind of, we're not judging on their actual perspective as such, but on the ability to think about what we're doing. So in that way, it makes it a little bit easier. So, and of course, as Laura said before, not all students are going to go all out, you know, so it depends. They're all in different processes. So how intimate it gets, it really depends.
And maybe on like the example where students might get into a position where they're opening up, I think that's where I'm thinking of what are the kind of emotional side effects of doing that kind of practice? Like what are the kind of potential issues that are coming up? And you know, do you need to be a social worker to be, and how do you respond to those situations?
It's so different, and it is really difficult. It can be really difficult, but most of the time, it's the most rewarding part of my teaching. That sort of relationship that you build enables the students to be honest about what they're learning and also to push you as a teacher, as an academic, and as a researcher, especially when we're thinking about gender. My background's feminist philosophy. I've got all of these ideas in some sense. Yes, I'm an expert. Fabi's an expert in her field. That's why we're teaching this. But that engagement with the students when they push back and they say, well, actually, that stuff that we've been learning in class, it might be a bit problematic for how I live my life and my life experience. So in that sense, it's a really remarkable, intimate, personal feedback that you're getting on your research and on your teaching. I haven't had any experiences, and I don't think Fabi has. I mean, I don't want to talk for you, Fabi, where it's been something so traumatic that we've had to call in a social worker. So I think it remains at an academic level in some sense. So we're talking about an intimate relationship through a pedagogy.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think this is one of my favorite parts of the teaching, is to be able to have access to that kind of like really kind of in-depth thinking and reflection on what we're doing. And I've never had any situation where, oh my God, this is so traumatic, I'm troubled by this at all. Like it's still an assessment piece.
Tell us a little bit about that, foregrounding the academic, privileging the academic, and then translating it into the practicalities of a course. So you have to assess these, you have to teach around them. How does the pragmatics of assessment work, taking these intimate, personal elements and then putting them into assessment? How does it work practically?
So the criteria for them to actually get full marks for the reflections is to show evidence of thinking, of reflection, okay? So that's where the marks come. So if they actually do a great job and they show that they have done the reading and they have considered some of the key topics within the reading and they've done the critical thinking, tick, you've got the marks. If a student just writes a summary of what we did in class, they're not going to get the full marks because they're not really reflecting. They're just telling us what we did. But if they showed us that they actually thought about it, they're getting the marks. So again, here, that's how we managed to do marking with that. And also it is kind of, because they're getting lots of little marks over the semester, it ended up being kind of, for each of the reflections, it's low stakes. In a way. Is that a buzzword?
Oh, I don't think so. But I do like the buzzer being hit.
You just wanted to hit it. Yeah. Yes.
The grading of the journals is something that both of us have continued to I guess, grapple with in a sense. Because last year I sort of allocated too many marks for the journals and ended up with almost inflated grades. I mean, 2020 was a difficult year anyway, so that I was happy that they had inflated grades. It was fine. But, this year I sort of brought it down a little. And it's something that we're still working out. And Fabi's gone on and done something different this semester with her topic. That practice of writing each week, that seems like such a simple task of writing 200 or 300 words, really gets the students to go deeper. So in a sense, I'm like, okay, well, maybe those marks are worth it if they're doing that much work.
And that was what I wanted to ask you both, is like, what does that kind of practice do to the students? Like, how does that affect them in their personality, but also as learners?
I think it definitely makes the writing better. So when they come to the end and they've been practicing writing in this particular way, that by the time they get to an essay, they've practiced their writing, and I think that it definitely makes for a better essay writing.
The regularity of the writing.
The regularity of the writing and the thinking that's involved when you're writing. We don't often put those two together. I mean, you know, we ask students to write essays, but we don't ask them, or we're not explicit that it's like writing is part of thinking and critical thinking and these skills that we're teaching students across the humanities and social sciences. In terms of transformations of the students, that depends on context. Some students are really sort of wowed by these new, as I sort of said, these new conceptual tools and languages and this theory. Some of it's quite old that they engage with, and they realize, you know, Simone de Beauvoir, 1949, and they read chapters from the Second Sex and they realize that this is describing parts of their experience, or Audre Lorde writing in the 70s and the 80s. So some of them have really transformative experiences, I think, in terms of their relationship to theory and to the university, perhaps. Others have sort of, I guess, political awakenings. Fabi, I don't know if you want to carry
on. Yeah, so I have a problem with the word transformative in some senses, because in a way, like, transforming, it means that you're getting something that needs to be transformed. But I think in many ways what we can actually do is support and contribute to growth in terms of the student's journey. But yeah, and we do definitely see evidence of some changes happening throughout the semester for some students, for others, not really. But I think most of the students who come in, we can see there is a level of opening up to kind of new possibilities. And also, as we said at the beginning, this idea of new possibilities of knowledge, because we're very, very strong on this idea, who gets to produce knowledge? Who are the knowledge producers? Does that matter? What are the ethical implications of who gets to produce knowledge? And because this is such a central part of the course, of course, that we are asking them to think about knowledge in terms of their own knowledge and their relationship. Yeah.
And just finally, if someone's listening out there, maybe they're about to start thinking about lecturing or designing a course in this area, what are the practical tips that you would give them if they wanted to use journals in this way?
Maybe set a word limit.
I think that applies to all of us.
Yeah. Which is difficult when you're engaging in they're you know, really interesting journals, and you're sort of setting up these relationships.
You need to be aware, who are your students? What is your cohort? What are your learning goals? What are you trying to achieve in the course? And then you need to think, is this an appropriate pedagogical tool for what I'm doing here? So I think it definitely journals fit with many different subjects in humanities and social sciences, but it's not for all courses. So you need to consider what is the kind of workload that you're prepared to put in terms of marking, or that you are able to, and also what you can ask for students to actually do in terms of their own time. So that's kind of what I would say, yeah.
And connecting it to that authenticity that you set up in the classroom. Don't just go in and expect students to be able to engage on a personal level if you haven't done that work. And the emotional load that you're prepared to engage with, you know, those are all realities that I think, and Fabi, I think, also has, you know, the joys outweigh the workload.
That's a beautiful way to summarize what I think is a really stunning practice you both are allowing your students to experience. So thank you so much for sharing this. If you as a listener heard anything that you liked or you'd like to engage further, you can of course find us on all sorts of social media channels. You can also of course contact Laura and Fabi.
Thanks for joining us, and as always, we look forward to your company again.